Now, you knew Sarah. You've known Sarah for a long time. Can you tell me how you first got to meet Sarah?
I met Sarah when I was visiting Sitka, and she was the news director. I had been the previous news director, and I came in to meet her, and we went out for coffee, we swapped stories, and it was really lovely. And then the next thing you know, a few years later, we're both working at WAMU together, and we became fast friends.
In your eulogy for her, you said you shared a desk. Can you talk about what it was like to work next door?
I mean, I could have pushed my chair back and tapped her on the shoulder at any time. We were in very close proximity to each other. She was a great friend, and at work, she was just completely serious. She would have her head down. She was very no-nonsense. She was honestly one of the hardest working public radio reporters that I know, really dedicated to the craft, and she put together just beautiful stories. She covered education and also a lot of immigrant issues. So very, very compelled to tell the story, I think, of those who don't have a voice and maybe need the services that, in terms of education, that they may not be receiving through the public school system. So yeah, she was a really great friend and good reporter.
Now, you said she was fluent in both Spanish and Portuguese, and that she helped you on a story once?
I mean, I don't know about the Portuguese, her maybe since she lived in Brazil in a favela as a child with her parents and the rest of her family. But she was fluent in Spanish, and yeah, she went out at least on one occasion with me because I was interviewing some immigrants and I don't speak Spanish. A little bit of German, but no Spanish. So Sarah came out with me and we got the interview. It was worked out really well, and it was nice to be able to have her kind of, use her sound translating the story, going into their sound bites.
From what you know of Sarah, what types of stories do you think she would want the news residency that bears her name to be covering?
I mean, I know that she was really interested in tribal issues, and she became pretty good friends with Bob Sam, and Bob Sam even had been to Berkeley and stayed with her parents a few times. So I think that she'd really like that tradition to continue. I mean, Sitka just, I think we both felt really fortunate to be in a place with such a rich tribal history and an active tribe. And the people with the tribe were so generous with their time and sharing information about describing what is tribal sovereignty? What does it mean today? How did we get to where we are right now with the forms of government? Sharing their traditions and their stories. And I think Sarah would really love for the person in the residency to do those stories. But honestly, I think that she would really want them to cover all those stories that just provide that crucial foundation that you need for your entire reporting career. I mean, I was thinking about, when we were both there, we talked about how Sitka really was, covering city government was like a little microcosm of covering a state legislature or ultimately covering Congress. I remember sitting down with Jay Sweeney, the finance director at the time, and him just explaining to me what it means to float a city bond, and even like the court cases, you have access to the attorneys that you would never get when you're covering a Supreme Court case. And those attorneys, the people in Sitka that you're interviewing generally are your neighbors and in many cases your friends. And they're taking a little bit more time with you to explain to you how things work. Like, what does it mean to file a motion? How does the appeals process work? And the fisheries issues, the natural resource management issues, we both were able to get out on boats and cover fisheries from, on location. And I think that maybe Tory O'Connell was still one of the managers of some of the fisheries when Sarah was there. So you have this one of your neighbors spending, she must have spent at least an hour on the phone with me on numerous occasions, and I'm sure the case was the same with Sarah, explaining how the fisheries work and what are the dynamics between the desires and needs of the fishermen and conservation. So I think Sarah would really want the person to take full advantage of kind of all those stories that Sitka has to offer, because that's what really gives you that foundation that you need to go and flourish in your career.
Now, you came to Sitka from Kotzebue, right?
Yes.
And you were a seasoned news director by the time you got to Sitka. This, and Sarah was fairly new. She came to us from Dillingham. She'd been in Dillingham for the summer and then started working for us. This residency is going to take young journalists and kind of give them a year to learn more of the craft and then go out into the world. How does Alaska experience prepare you to work in the rest of the world?
You say I was a seasoned news director? Maybe. I had been in Kotzebue. That was the first time I had ever stepped into a radio station in my life. And there were a couple of mornings I forgot to turn the transmitter on. I feel like, the experiences that both Sarah and I had, we had a few more years under our belt, but what we experienced and how we grew is how the person in the residency will grow. It gives you the building blocks to have the confidence and go out and the knowledge so that you're able to ask the right questions. And I think also when you're in a small town like this, I feel like it makes you more aware of the ethics of reporting because, again, these are your friends and neighbors, and so you're even more conscious of making sure that you're giving everybody a fair shake and you're representing their point of view accurately. I think when you start, I kind of in a bigger market without having that sort of baseline, I don't know, it's a little bit different. So I just think it's an incredible opportunity. Raven Radio was an incredible training ground, and the staff there are just so generous with their time. I remember working with Mary Baker on, how to use sound effectively, how to blend sound, and doing edits with Steve Will and with you, Rich, you sharing all your many years of radio experience. So it's just there's just so much that Raven has to offer, and it's really I just feel like this all came together beautifully. I know that I and Sarah's family couldn't be happier with how this all came together.
What specifically from your Alaska experience helped you on a story that you were working on later, let's say in Washington, D.C.?
I covered a few Supreme Court cases for National Native News, and I feel like I had covered a police trial while at Raven Radio. And so I think having gone through some of covering judicial issues, that helped give me the confidence to go in and have a sense of the right questions to ask. And then certainly covering Congress for National Native News, I understood how Congress works. We've all, of course, seen, well, I don't know, maybe the younger generation hasn't seen the Schoolhouse Rock video of I'm Just a Bill, but there still is nothing like covering a legislature to really, understand the right questions to ask. And in Sitka, being able to cover Juno from afar still was a great asset before winding up in the halls of Congress and covering legislation there. And even, the White House and the executive office, understanding kind of like what are the powers that Tony Knowles has as a governor. There's an analogy there between the executive office of the White House and a governor. Just lots of experience really helped sort of prime the pump for winding up in a larger market.
What specific advice or, just tips would you give a young news resident at Raven Radio who is in the Sarah Hughes News Fellowship program?
I would say never be afraid to ask a dumb question. No question is dumb. Really lean on the resources that are there at Raven. Rob Woolsey, has been doing radio a long time. Catherine Rose, I've listened to some of her stories and they're fantastic. So really, just throw yourself into this and don't be intimidated. I mean, we all make mistakes. God knows I made a few at Raven. I remember one time being on the air, and back when we used the cart machines, and I had the wrong cart queued up, and I kind of freaked out. And instead of like, I don't, in retrospect, I'm not really sure how I should have handled it. Maybe just left the sound bites out and paraphrased them. But instead, I kept randomly scrolling through, hoping that the right sound bite would come up the next time I had to fire it, and which was obviously the wrong thing to do. So, we all make mistakes. So go easy on yourself, and just enjoy the experience, because Raven is so special. Just, it really is a community gathering place. And I would just say, soak up as much as you can while you're there.
And finally, we have listeners who are thinking, huh, they're doing another fun drive. This drive is specifically for news and to beef up the news residency program. What would you tell listeners about the importance of this?
Oh, public radio, it's still doing great local journalism. And I just feel like it's so sad when you look around the country and see all these newsrooms that are dwindling and folding. And it is so important to support your local journalism because, as the saying goes, democracy dies in the darkness. And what's happening in your own backyard is really important. Those, the local ballot initiatives, they matter. And you're getting this information from your local radio station and your local newspaper, of course, but it's up to us to support it. So please think about what you're getting back from this.
Thank you. Anything you'd like to add, Lisa?
Oh, just thanks. I wasn't gonna cry, but I'm very grateful that this all came together. And I'm really grateful to Raven for applying for the additional grant to allow this to happen. And I think Sarah would be very, very pleased. So thank you.
Thank you.